Often when we start the year, we look back to the previous year, and we often wonder, God, where were you in those difficult moments? Where were you when we prayed for a loved one who was sick? When we prayed for a situation that was happening within the family? And we look back and we wonder, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Are miracles only for the time of Jesus? Are miracles only for the time of the apostles? Are miracles only for those who are really close to you and have this special connection? And we don't see it because we're not that close yet. I take courage when I read Scripture, brothers and sisters. I take courage when I see what God did with His people, how He led them, how He took care of them. Last year, toward the end of the year, we studied the book of Acts, and we saw the practices of this early church, of these early believers. And we took courage of their faith, of their courage to move forward in spite of the difficulties. And so as we start this year, I want to go back to the book of Acts. I want to see how God moved among His people in the first century, because I believe He can do the same in the 21st century. Amen. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. We find a story, a sad story. Saul, a persecutor of the church, was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Who was him? Stephen. Stephen, in the previous chapter, chapter 7, had been stoned. This was a man of God, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, a leader of the church in Jerusalem. And people had accused him of blasphemy. They said he had done something which he had not done. And surrounded by the mob, as he spoke to them, filled with the Holy Spirit, as he spoke to them about Jesus and who the Messiah was, the crowd picked up stones and one by one started to throw these stones to Stephen. You would think Stephen, his angel, his guardian angel, would have just stopped all the multitude with just his hand. But no appearance of angels stopping the crowd. And the text tells us that Stephen fell asleep. He died. You would think that after that event, maybe a special resurrection. This was God's man, God's leader. God needed him to work for his cause. But there was no special resurrection. In fact, things got worse, according to verse 1. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And verse 2 tells us that some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. It was a sad day for the church in Jerusalem. I'm sure they had prayed for Stephen. I'm sure that people had gathered giving him support. But at the moment, Stephen was resting. Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. You would think the church would then be discouraged. God, if you couldn't save Stephen, who was a man of God, your anointed, your man filled with your Holy Spirit, what about us? But instead of the church being discouraged, they went out and proclaimed Jesus. They went out to the surrounding regions. And the text tells us that they went preaching the word. In fact, Philip, a deacon, a fellow co-worker with Stephen, he went to the city of Samaria. He went, and the text tells us here in verse 5, when he went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them, the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Philip was preaching the word and he was performing miracles. Do you want to see miracles? I think we all want to see miracles. We all want to see miracles, Brother Kelly. We all want to see miracles. It's something we long for. When the doctors tell us there's no hope, we come to God and say, God, we want to see a miracle. And these were the signs that were performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was much rejoicing in that city. I see in this text that when Jesus comes to town, there's much joy. There is rejoicing. There is change. There is transformation. But something that the Bible is always clear is that miracles do not always come from God. Beware. Miracles do not always come from God. There is someone else who can perform miracles. Great miracles. And so we are warned by Jesus himself that says, in the latter days, many will come in my name, performing many miracles, saying, I am the Christ. Do not believe them. Do not believe them. And the text here in Acts chapter 8 tells us of a man who performed miracles. His name was Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. I see a hint here of someone who is not performing in miracles on behalf of God is claiming what? Greatness. Look at me. Look what I can do. If you pay me a little bit, I can do even more. Watch out. Beware. Beware. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And verse 11 repeats the same concept. And they were giving him attention. Much attention, because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But Philip came along, leaving Jerusalem. You see, the church in Jerusalem felt comfortable. The leaders in Jerusalem thought they needed to stay in Jerusalem to protect the membership there from the priests, from the Pharisees, from the scribes. But God had other plans. Amen? He wanted this message to go to the entire world. And so he invited Philip to go to Samaria. And when Philip came to Samaria, look what happened. Chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Here we have Simon, this magician. He accepted the message. He accepted the good news of the kingdom. He accepted Christ as the Messiah. And that gives me hope, brothers and sisters. Amen? Even if we've gone astray, far from God, basically worked for the enemy, God can still call us out of darkness into his light. Amen? Amen? He can bring us back to the fold. And here Simon had understood this message and he was following Philip. So the apostles who were in Jerusalem decided it's time to go to Samaria as they saw the church growing. They needed to organize it. They needed to make sure that there was leadership in place. So they came to pray for the brethren there. And if we go to Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it tells us, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Amen? They were receiving the Holy Spirit. They were working together to proclaim the good news about Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when you receive good news, how do you feel? Good, glad, happy. The city was rejoicing because of this good news. They were happy. But something happened to Simon. All of a sudden, greed took place into his heart. And he wanted this authority. And he thought he could what? Buy it. If I can have that authority, imagine how popular I will become. John and Peter had a message from God for him. And we find this in verse 20. But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you can obtain the gift of God with money." The Holy Spirit is what, brothers and sisters? A gift. A gift that we can all receive if we ask for it. A gift we can receive if we pray for it. A gift God wants to give his church so that we can proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And they continued telling Simon, "You have no part or portion in this matter." Verse 21, "For your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent." A message of mercy? A message of mercy for Simon. "Repent, Simon, of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." The experiences that the church was going through in that first century. The disciples continued preaching around Samaria. They went from village to village sharing the good news. But Philip, once again, called by an angel of the Lord, was called for a special mission. Philip, it's time to get up. It's time to go down to Jerusalem, in fact, south of Jerusalem toward Gaza. And I can imagine Philip saying, wait a second, I just left Jerusalem. I just left that area because it's pretty dangerous for us Christians. Are you sure, God, you want me to go there? Sometimes God asks us to do things we don't really know why he's asking us, right, brothers and sisters? But can we trust him? Amen. We can always trust him. We can always trust him. And Philip went down to Jerusalem, to this road that went to Gaza. And verse 27 tells us, and he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading scripture. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And this eunuch invited Philip to join him on his chariot. And Philip began to expound on scripture. Have you had that opportunity to sit next to someone in a car or in a plane and share the gospel with them? Amen. What do we call those moments? Divine appointments. Divine appointments. Where God uses us to share Christ with them. Amen. Divine appointments. And so Philip shared that the lamb that was mentioned in Isaiah 53, the sheep that had gone to the slaughter, who did not open his mouth, and in humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. Did Jesus suffer, brothers and sisters? He suffered. He suffered in my place. He suffered in your place. And the eunuch answered Philip and said in verse 34, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Amen. And that was not all. But as they went along the road, what happened? The eunuch saw water. Water. Can I be baptized? Can I be baptized? Last week we had the great privilege of seeing two of our young people here at church being baptized. Amen? Amen. And what joy. What joy we saw in their faces. And this eunuch said, may I be baptized, Philip. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith, confidence, trust in Jesus and what he has done. This eunuch ordered the chariots to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. A miracle. He was snatched away. And it says that the eunuch saw him no more. But what caught my attention again, brothers and sisters, as I read this text, was this latter part of verse 39. But the eunuch went on in his way, how? Rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. My mother and I went to Cuba not too long ago. and on her way back from West Palm Beach to Portland, Oregon, she had one of those divine appointments. This was a sixth grade girl, a young girl who was sitting right next to my mom. And she had a survey she wanted my mom to fill out. It was for her Bible class. And on that survey, there were some questions. One of the questions in that survey was, what happens when you die? Mercy. She did not expect to hear what my mom was about to share from Scripture. My mom shared that Scripture presents death as sleep. But when Jesus comes again, the dead in Christ will rise. And all of those who are alive will together be caught up to meet their Lord. That little girl said, one second here, I need to call my mom. Mom? So mom joined the crowd. And dad was the Bible teacher. He was there too. At the end of the conversation, the sixth grade girl said, you know, that makes sense.
Amen.
That makes sense. That makes sense. My mom congratulated the little girl for her survey. What a neat way to enter into conversation with somebody else about Scripture, about Jesus Christ. We were in Mexico City for a wedding. My wife, my parents. And again, mom, divine appointment. It wasn't just about a wedding. It was about someone, once again, accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The person was the father of the bride, my uncle Miguel, the oldest of eight brothers and sisters. My mom said, Miguel, it's been a while since you've been to church. It's time you come back again. It's time you accept the Lord. You know what the Scriptures say. What's hindering you from being baptized? And of course, the walls went up really quickly, and he said, hey, wait a second, I was baptized already a long time ago. Yes, Miguel, but you left the church. In fact, your family came to know the church through your brother Hiram, who came to give them Bible studies. And you've been receiving Bible studies from your brother Hiram. Well, I need to think about it. And my mom said, well, let's think about it right now. Let's bring your brother Samuel into the picture. Let's have him answer some of your questions. That day, he made the decision to be baptized. Amen? I have some pictures to share. And the reason why I share this, Mexico City, if you've seen one big city, you've seen them all. My dad, one of his sisters, Ruth, and that's my uncle Miguel, 74 years old. That's the day of his baptism. Praise God.
Amen.
Miracle. My dad had the privilege of baptizing his older brother. That was cool. And then a picture with a family, his family, his children, grandchildren. And then a picture with the rest of the family. Not all of us could make it to the wedding, but it was a time of what, brothers and sisters? Rejoicing. A time of rejoicing. And what my uncle Miguel told my dad the following day, he said, "I feel happy. I feel different. I'm so glad I made this decision to get baptized." Acts of the Apostles, last paragraph of the chapter called "The Gospel in Samaria," shares with us this. "Long has God waited for the spirit of service to take possession of the whole church." Not just pastors, not just elders, the whole church. "So that everyone shall be working for him according to his ability. When the members of the church of God do their appointed work in the needy fields at home and abroad, in fulfillment of the gospel commission, the whole world will soon be warned, and the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with power and great glory. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." Amen. Amen.